Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to A Fine Time for Healing, a sanctuary for your emotional well-being. Your host is Randy Fine, author of the memoir Finally. Here's Randy.
Thank you for tuning in today to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your talk radio show host, Randy Fine. My major goal in doing this show and writing is to use the experiences of my life as an example to show you that although you cannot change the past, you can start from today and create a new life story with a brand new ending. It is never too late to change your perspective or alter the course of your life. Today, I'll be discussing a few commonly relatable topics and musing over them from my experience and perspective. Let's call them truisms according to Randy. The truisms I will share with you are not in any particular order. And because of the time restraints of this show, I will discuss only seven of them. The first truth, as I see it, is that we should learn to laugh at ourselves and at life. Several months ago, I visited my ex-mother-in-law with my daughter, Cammie, her granddaughter, who was in town for the weekend. I usually visit her three or four times a year for various reasons. I have known her for 31 years and have been divorced from her son for 25 of them. We haven't always been close. There were years when our relationship was strained and we didn't speak at all. Many factors, including proximity and issues surrounding my divorce to her son, contributed to the lapses. We both suffered a lot of hurt and tragedy over the years from my ex-husband, an addict, who died of a drug overdose. Though our relationship may have been distant from time to time, I always nurtured and encouraged her relationship with my daughter. I have healed and moved on with my life. I've been married to my husband for 23 years. Sadly, she remains stuck in her pain, waiting for death to come and take her out of her emotional misery. She is a shell of the woman she used to be. She used to be lively and outgoing. She was known for her outrageous personality, loud, funny, showy, attention-seeking, and brutally honest. I never knew what uncensored comments would fly out of her mouth or when it would happen. Through the years, I've been embarrassed, insulted, and lambasted by her, but I have also laughed until I thought my sides would split open. There were just as many times that she loved, doted on, respected, and praised me. With maturity, I have learned to overlook her guileless comments and look to the truly kind woman that I know lies beneath. It is a good thing that I understand where she is coming from and that I have a sense of humor about myself. Otherwise, I would have been furious over the way she insulted me during that last visit. She was trying to be funny, but her comment didn't land quite the way I believe she intended it to. At the time, I had been experiencing some weight gain related to hormones and my age. Having always been thin and shapely with a body weight that was easy to maintain, I was not accepting this change very well. I don't mean to insinuate that I was largely overweight. I just felt like I woke up in the wrong body and couldn't seem to find my way back. on the day of the visit, my daughter and I walked into her grandmother's apartment, and the first thing she blurted out upon seeing me was, "You've gained weight." I laughed. She wasn't telling me something I didn't know, though I was secretly hoping my weight gain wasn't that noticeable. I explained what was going on with me, and then the topic moved on and the focus was redirected. Despite the seemingly insulting greeting, she was clearly happy to see us, interested in all I had to say, and she praised me many times. Cammie and I stayed for a little over an hour, and then hugged, kissed, and said our goodbyes. As we were about to walk out the door to leave, my ex-mother-in-law suddenly revisited her opening sentiment and shouted, "Goodbye, fatso!" Once again, I started laughing, considering the source. Then Cammie and I left. My daughter was appalled after hearing what her grandmother had said to me. Once we were alone and out in the hallway, she looked at me dumbstruck and said, "That was so mean. I can't believe she just insulted you that way." Undaunted, I assured Cammie that the fatso comment didn't bother me. It was just grandma being grandma and trying to be funny. She didn't mean to hurt my feelings. The next morning, my ex-mother-in-law called to tell me how much she enjoyed our visit and how great it was to see us. She never made reference to the fatso comment, but she did make a point of telling me how beautiful she thought I looked. She told me that my body was perfect, just the way it was, and not to lose any weight. She is a brutally honest person, so I knew she spoke with sincerity. The whole scenario was truly hilarious. I laugh every time I replay it in my head. I have added it to the list of the outrageous antics that I've witnessed from her over the years, and I am grateful to have those colorful, comical memories to recall. Humor may present itself in the oddest ways. We have to learn to laugh at ourselves, and we have to learn to laugh at life. The second truth, as I see it, is that our bodies are temples, but they certainly do require a lot of maintenance. Did you ever stop to think about how much maintenance your body requires? If you live to be 70, you will have brushed your teeth at least 50,000 times and bathed or showered at least 25,000 times. You have eaten at least 75,000 meals and evacuated those meals at least 25,000 times. You regularly have to cut or file your nails, cut, shampoo, and shave your hair, deodorize, moisturize, and exercise. You have to dress and undress each day. Though I am more than grateful for the ability to take care of myself, it still makes me tired just thinking about the upkeep of my personal temple. Being the analytical person I am, I have questioned why humans were designed that way. Animals aren't high maintenance, at least the ones that haven't been turned into pets and humanized. No other living thing on the planet Earth requires so much personal attention. Life is so complex. There are many explanations for why we experience what we do. For the majority of my life, I've been plagued on and off by medically unexplainable physical issues, fatigue, muscle pain, food sensitivities, digestive problems, etc. When one malady goes on hiatus, another one rears its ugly head. According to medical analysis, I'm a perfectly healthy specimen. These persistent physical issues have compelled me to seek alternative methods of healing. I've visited many holistic practitioners and faithfully subscribed to their treatment plans. I do see a greater purpose for my continuous discomfort. These issues have nagged me so much that they propelled me into a journey of self-discovery. The awareness that I constantly have of my body is what keeps me grounded. I am constantly reminded that I am living a physical life, to focus on the here and now. Physical limitations and illness are meant to ground us, stop us in our tracks, force us to face ourselves, and direct our attention to what really matters. Through that introspection and the faith that carries us through, we grow. At the age of 70 or older, we'll have an even greater responsibility to our demanding aging bodies. If we're lucky enough, we'll remain capable of tending to that responsibility ourselves and appreciate the ability to do so. And because we are gradually forced to slow down, we'll have more time for introspection, more opportunity to get closer to the higher power that we'll eventually share eternity with. The third truth, as I see it, is that we are eternal and our purpose is infinite. Every one of us has pondered the purpose of life, why we are born, why we struggle, and what happens after we die. If we fail to dig deeper, life will not make sense. It will have no meaning. Are we just tiny, meaningless entities in the universe who die and then are recycled into the earth without leaving a trace? This could not be farther from the truth. As in many other instances of analysis, we must always look at the bigger picture. There is a greater plan for everything that has or will ever exist. Human beings are the physical manifestation of evolving souls. Our bodies are the vessels that allow us to experience life. We are spiritual beings who are one with the universe. The universe is perfection exemplified. Human beings are not. Our souls progress through what we experience while in our physical bodies. Whether acknowledged on a conscious or subconscious level, each of us knows that our mission in life is personal growth. Adversity is how we learn and grow in life. Our lives would be pointless without it. There is no suffering or adversity in the beautiful, blissful spiritual realm, our true home, where we spend most of eternity. The learning accomplished while in our physical bodies progresses our souls in the divine realm. We make the choice to keep coming back to Earth school so we can experience life to enlighten and advance our souls. We thoughtfully pre-outline the lessons we need to learn and the people that will assist us in that learning process. Because we make these decisions while in a place of serenity and cannot remember how difficult life as a human may be, our souls may take on extremely difficult challenges. No two souls seek the same experiences. That's why no two people are alike. We are here to work things out, to grow through challenges and rise above adversity. Every one of us is here on an important mission that only we can accomplish. With that said, we all have free will. Once we are here, we are able to decide how our life will play out. But with the knowledge that we will inevitably need to jump certain hurdles, we might as well face things head on. In the face of adversity, we must look our problems square in the eye and then pick ourselves up, dust ourselves off, and resume the act of living. So, what is our life purpose? Our purpose is to love, learn, and experience as much as possible so that we may fulfill our mission of further enlightening our souls. Our purpose is to grow through the many challenges we face while knowing that life as we know it is very temporary. Life does not end here. It is merely a brief segment of your eternal life, just as schooling is only a portion of your human life. It is to your advantage to learn, achieve, and grow despite the adversity you experience. Adversity is only a catalyst put before you to speed up your growth. The next time you question your purpose, remind yourself that you are an eternal being and your purpose is greater than you can ever fathom. We are halfway through the show, so let's take a brief 1-minute break. I'll return after the musical interlude. Stay tuned. I'll be right back. Seven truths as I see it. The fourth truth as I see it is that goodness always prevails. Much of the morality and principles that we live by throughout our life were ingrained in us by our parents when we were young. Among other things, parents are largely responsible for building the character of their children. They are our role models. Children are sponges. They absorb all they see, hear, and feel. When I was a child, my mother used to tell me that although she was a good person of honesty and morality, she wanted me to be good and honest too. Let me say that again. When I was a child, my mother used to tell me that although she was a person of honesty and morality and wanted me to be good and honest too, it didn't pay to be that way. She said that dishonest and conniving people are the ones who get ahead in this world. Though I was young, somehow I knew in my heart and my soul that her perspective was wrong. I just didn't understand why. But as I observed the world around me, it often appeared that she was right. That was a very confusing message for me to process. For one thing, my mother was deeply observant and faithful to the Jewish religion. She expected her children to be the same. But I had to wonder, did my mother actually have faith in God, or was she observing Judaism by rote and programming? Who was this God I was supposed to be praying to? By the time I was a young adult, I had dismissed the concept of God. I began seeking out relationship with guys who were crafty and manipulative, fascinated with the bad boy type. I never strayed from personal honesty or wholesome convictions, therefore always found myself trying to corral the rebellious behavior of my love interests. I wanted them to be better people, but that effort never paid off. Still, I admired their cunning ways. It seemed that these kinds of people were the movers and shakers of the world. What we see with our eyes is not always the truth. Even our experiences can be deceiving. We often think that people who do bad things in this life and don't get caught or convicted have gotten away with it. that maybe it doesn't pay to be a good person. Let me state now, with the utmost conviction, that is merely an earthbound illusion. Dishonesty and deception are carried with our soul through eternity, just as honesty and morality are. We are spiritual beings who are writing indelibly in the everlasting book of our eternal soul. Nothing goes unnoticed by God or the universe. Anyone who thinks that they have gotten away with a bad deed should reconsider and make amends. We should never deceive ourselves into believing that if we perform the rituals of a particular faith but do not live an exemplary life, that our bad deeds will ultimately be ignored or erased. I must have always known intuitively that this is true, even though I was young and not in touch with the reasons why. Now that I can explain it, I feel compelled to share the truth as I know it with you. The truth is that goodness always prevails. The fifth truth, as I see it, is that there is no letter I in the word parent. In my opinion, the words parenting and selflessness should be interchangeable words in the Rogue's Thesaurus. Think about it for a minute. There is no I in the words mother or father, or parent for that matter. When making the choice to have children, one's motive might very well be a predictor of the outcome. Any reproductively healthy woman can birth children. That doesn't mean that every reproductively healthy woman should raise children. Parenting is the most vitally important responsibility one could ever have. I've always believed that my children chose me. Their souls put their ultimate faith in me. That is a supreme honor and a divine gift. It's been incumbent upon me to discriminatingly select the fruit for the nectar to nurture their souls. Just as with birds and their nestlings, the true test of parenting comes when our children take their wings and try to fly. Does the child seek independence? Will the child land on their feet if they fail? And most importantly, do they know without a shadow of a doubt that every moment of every day you are watching them from the nest and cheering their efforts on? No matter how old our children become, they'll never stop needing their parents' unconditional love. That is the foundation on which they continue to build their lives. The stronger the foundation, the higher and sturdier they can build. Then someday, if they choose to have their own children, they'll already have a tried and true template. How wonderful would that be? As parents, we must do our very best. That often means healing our own issues so they won't become a legacy for our children. I broke the pattern and stopped the legacy. You can too. The rest is in God's hands. After all, the children we raise are ultimately His. The sixth truth, as I see it, is that we should not take everything personally, but knowing that doesn't necessarily make it easier to do. Why do most of us find it so difficult in the face of insults to not take it personally? The concept of not taking it personally is easy to understand, but very hard to apply. The first thing to remember is that we cannot control what others say to us, but we can control our reaction. That is easier said than done. When someone demeans our character, insults us, or gives us a backhanded compliment, our natural response is to question our own worth. We analyze their comment, trying to figure out why that person attacked our integrity and if we deserved it. Why do we consider the validity of others' viewpoints when they criticize us? Everyone views the world differently, and everyone has opinions. What is important to remember is that opinions are just opinions. They are not absolute truths. They are based on a variety of influences that have nothing to do with us. Others' comments are projections of their own issues and inadequacies and lack of self-esteem. They are not about us. Still, it is very difficult to not take offense. Many of us fear rejection. When we take things personally, we take a rejection that is not about us and make it about us. We give away our personal power and disrespect our integrity. This reaction is based on our own insecurities, our need for acceptance and approval, and or from unresolved issues. Few of us are 100% happy with ourselves. We all have weak areas. This feeling of inadequacy, no matter how minuscule, allows the ill intentions of others to cause us to question our self-worth. The best way to retrain our responses is to retrain our mind. It takes practice and strength to change the pattern. The word me is a key factor in our awareness. Whenever you hear yourself saying something like, "How could they say that to me?" recognize that you have personally taken on the importance of the statement. You have allowed the intrusion on your self-esteem. We have to accept that not everyone will like us, and that we don't have to go out of our way to please others to be liked. When we heal our sore spots, we are better equipped to let things roll off our back. The seventh truth, as I see it, is that forgiveness is a gift we give ourselves. We are likely to be wronged by others more than a few times in the course of our lifetime. Living in this imperfect world, we will surely find ourselves faced with the dilemma of forgiveness over and over. When someone that matters to us is hurtful, we will naturally feel painful emotions such as anger and sadness. We may find ourselves dwelling on the injustice of the situation and holding grudges. Gradually, these negative feelings overshadow the positive feelings in our lives, leaving us filled with resentment. This leads to spiritual paralysis and detrimental physical destruction. The stress of these self-defeating attitudes affects our well-being. It may wreak havoc on our immune system, raise our blood pressure, and possibly lead to substance abuse. It interferes with our peace of mind. We may find ourselves suffering from anxiety and depression. By clinging to the pain of the past, allowing the wrongdoing to define us, we allow the joy of the present to pass us by. Life may begin to feel meaningless. If we are consumed by the past, our bitterness may infiltrate and impede every new relationship, every new experience. The decision to forgive is not an easy one. It may be challenging, especially when the wrongdoer does not offer a sincere apology or show heartfelt remorse for their actions. Forgiveness is a hard concept for many of us to grasp. On the surface, it may seem like we are handing someone a get-out-of-jail-free card, giving them permission to have crossed the line with us. But forgiveness is all about peace of mind. It does not justify the wrongdoing. It releases us from the grip that hinders our well-being. It takes away the power we have given to the other person, releases the negative hold they have over us. Forgiveness is a promise we make to ourselves to change our life. When we forgive, we allow serenity, happiness, and healing to flourish. We can sincerely forgive someone without excusing their actions. Compassion, taking the other person's circumstance into consideration, is important. Putting ourselves in their shoes may be very helpful in healing. We should also look at the emotional energy we have expended on the betrayal. Is it proportionate to the offense? Forgiveness is a process that takes time. In the end, it is our choice whether or not to offer mercy or share our forgiveness with the person who wronged us. In some cases, reconciliation may be impossible or inappropriate. Through the act of forgiveness, we learn empathy, understanding, and respect. When practicing forgiveness, we must be mindful that there will be times when we will want to be forgiven. How can we ask for something that we are unwilling to give? We must always remember to show the mercy, faith, and love that we expect from others. We're out of time, but please feel free to contact me with any comments, questions, or show ideas you may have by emailing me at afinetimeforhealing@randygfine.com. Randy is spelled R-A-N-D-I. If you enjoy listening to my shows, please become a show follower. More followers will get the show the recognition that it deserves. Your support is greatly appreciated. Please visit my Randy G. Fine Facebook page and like me. That will keep you up to date on my perspectives and events. By following me, you will also be among the first to find out about the release of my new book, Awaken from Life, this summer. Be sure to tune in on Thursday, June 14th at 12 p.m. Eastern Time for another great show. All my shows will be archived and can be listened to at your convenience on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, or through the show links on my website. Thanks again for tuning in and listening to A Fine Time for Healing. This is Talk Radio show host and author Randy Fine, signing off until next time. May joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening. You can find out more about Randy at her website, randygfine.com. That's RANDIGFINE.com. Join her next time for more of A Fine Time for Healing.